Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
Patreon listeners, welcome to Agents Dossier, episode number 16. We have some wonderful players with us. Let's start with Mac.
Hey guys, I'm Mac. I'm going to be playing Desiree Kimball, and things are ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Saint, and I'm playing Norman Morales, and he's just excited and reserved.
I'm Michelle Otis, and I'm playing Perla Ayala, and she is trying to make sense of all of this craziness.
Hi, y'all. Jay playing Mars Paulson, and he just wants to punch something.
Hi, I'm Pooja. I'm playing Robin Porter. And now that she knows what's happened, it's time to get revenge for what happened.
Last time we all got together, you were checking out this tire factory in downtown Charlottesville, Virginia, that has been getting a bunch of chemicals going to it that seems to be tied to some explosion that happened in Edna Bay a few years prior. And basically, you're all separated at this point. Perla and Robin are at the dig site with this huge cube. They have been using pressure washers to clean it off, and they've cleaned it all the way down to the center, and there is a silver sphere just in the center, and they stopped all work because they're like, okay, what the fuck is that thing? I believe that Perla was asking Agent Roos if she could run some tests on the bones. Meanwhile, Robin herself was getting kind of close to the bones. I wasn't sure if she was going to try and take a sample just for herself without anybody seeing, but that's kind of where we had ended that episode. So those decisions hadn't been made. Mars and Desiree had been staking out the tire factory. They found out a couple of very interesting things, like there's a sniper turret on the back of the building that is hooked up to a separate power grid from the city. It's on a closed system. A really strange looking tall man with long jacket on, covered in bandages, showed up in an old clunker car that if you were to search it, you're pretty sure it would come back as totaled or gone or whatever. He came in, then a truck showed up, dropped off some stuff, and then left. And there hasn't been anybody since. Desiree has been hanging out on the street, kind of doing transient kind of thing, you know, drifter kind of thing, keeping an eye on the building. Mars has also been kind of scoping out the area. And then Norman has been looking up all the information, trying to find more information on the English cult that came over. It's the only reference that you have. It's from 1697. They were making smaller cubes out of cat and dog bones, but nothing to the scale that you're seeing. The record is sparse, and it doesn't give you much. You found a symbol of a tree that seems to be connected. You were also checking out Norman Majestic, which that came up as one of the CIA agencies that was involved with the tire factory. There's layers upon layers of ownership. Plus, your boss is spying on you.
They sent over Shelly, right?
Shelly sent over a couple of agents. They're in a van down by the river. Not really. They're right across the street. So you know that you're on their radar. That pretty much gets us all caught up to where we're at right now. Perla and Robin are at the dig site. Mars and Desiree are at the main tire factory. Norman's in a Motel 6 setup, kind of going over the internet. You have all of this information. I guess we should go around. I think the most pressing one would be Perla and Robin. So Perla and Robin, they've worked their way down. Robin, you're really near the cube right now, and you see the silver sphere the closest. It looks like something's moving inside of it. It's almost like watery, almost like Quicksilver or Mercury. So it has a shimmer to it. Perla, you hear them stop work. They're like, whoa, 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 wait. And so the bottom third of the cube is still covered in mud. They had decided that they wanted to just get it out of the ground as quickly as possible to move it to a site where if something goes tits up, it's okay. So.
No, I think they're right to stop work. I'm going to call for everybody to back off. And we need to get a team out here with, you know, the thingies to... It's a technical term.
The scientific thingies.
Geiger counters, I guess, to...
Yeah.
Yeah, to measure if it's radioactive or anything, because I don't want any of us, you know, dying.
Oh, are those teeth? Oh, no. Yeah,
exactly. And I go, Robin, we need to back away from this. I don't think this is safe.
What does Robin do?
I'm going to go back to Perla and tell her what I've seen. Like, it's like, it's more than not safe. There's something in there in the center of it.
What do you mean something?
I mean, it almost looks like a globe of Quicksilver, like of Mercury. It.
Weird.
I mean, this isn't really my area of expertise.
Mine either.
Suddenly the cube starts to hum and vibrate. It just starts shaking kind of hard. How far back do you all back up from it? I'm just curious.
I mean, the cube is 30 by 30, right? At this point, I think like a good, I don't know, half a football field. Like they've gotten like a containment zone going. So we would have gone to the edge of that.
Okay. So these strange arcs, it's not lightning, it's something else, start to go between the bones, and then it starts to kind of creep out. And almost like it's feeling what's around it, it's not random at all. It keeps getting a little bit further and a little bit further out. And Roos is all like, all right, everyone back up further. And, you know, everyone backs up a little bit further, and then it suddenly just dies. It just stops doing everything, just goes inert again. And someone shows up with a Geiger counter. There's no radiation at all. It's the normal background noise of living in the 2021s.
Radiation isn't the only thing that could come off of an artifact of living matter.
No, I agree totally. Yeah.
And I feel like until we know what kind of reaction just caused that mini lightning storm.
Is that what we're calling it? Because lightning's not that deliberate.
No, I mean, I don't remember what that thing is that is the globe that you put your hands around and the little, like, things like reach out to where like your fingers touch it.
Mm-hmm. Tesla coil, not Tesla coil, but it's another Tesla thing, and I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. Roos says, I guess my worry is how the hell do we get it out of here without it killing a bunch of people? It obviously has some sort of energy in it, and it could easily, it would wipe out a good chunk of the city. I mean, Edna Bay was, we were lucky only 300 people died there. So any suggestions at all from your team? I don't even know how to approach this, but we have to approach it, obviously, to get it out of the ground.
Have you taken any samples from the cube itself?
Not yet, no. Water didn't seem to do anything. There wasn't any reaction at all. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, we can't just leave it there because, you know, we have to do stuff to it. We just have to do stuff slowly. We can take a sample of it and see what happens. But, you know.
My fear is that whatever it is in the middle is some sort of, I mean, for lack of a better word, magnet, but that it's collecting living things and holding it to it.
It could be an organism. I mean, if this thing is as old as you say it is, and then it, or if it has a unknown chemical property that might react to something within bone matter, since all it collects is bones. But we don't know. We don't know if there is a contagion. No one should be in this area outside of, contamination suits at this point. You know nothing about it.
We don't know if those bones were, you know, living beings before they were absorbed into this thing. Like, if they were alive when it happened.
If you have a remote, I don't know, robot to try to take the sample, I think that might be your best bet.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we can do that. Everybody here, let's get back further, and we're going to get suits for everybody, and we'll send a bomb squad robot in to take a sample. All right, so I'll get back to you when they collect all that stuff. Let's jump over to Norman, who is in a Motel 6 room. We've all been there. What is Norman focusing on right now? What things does Norman want to find out in his caffeine-driven conspiracy theory thing? Well, you are the conspiracy. You are the yes. conspiracy. You're the NSA. Go ahead. What do you want to do?
I imagine people who are part of conspiracy theories are just like so normal. Like they don't, like their imaginations are like, no, like literally I am your nightmare. So, okay. The last thing that we found out was just the majestic whole thing. That was like literally, that's the last thing I have written down.
Right.
I just want to make sure that's correct.
Okay. Yep.
And I don't know. Did they call me from the tire factory, or do I not know that yet?
You do know all the information from the tire factory because they did update you. They told you it was a closed system. You checked that out. Yeah, so you have all that information. The turrets are on their own power grid.
Right. Okay, perfect. So at this point, I guess I want to see if I can. I want to craft my own. Wait. Well, I want to make my own bug. I've got crafting for microelectronics, and I know that they're putting that van on me, very obvious van. But of course, I haven't gone shopping, so I wonder if it's possible to use my microelectronics skill to roll for kind of DIYing one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Give me a roll.
All right. I think I just did not make that. Yeah, nope, did not make it. I have a 40 and I rolled 90. Fail.
So you try to use the stuff that's around the room and what you have in your kit, and you just don't have enough. Do you want to pop out to the local electronics store or to Best Buy or something and try to grab some components, or?
Yes, let me do that. I'm going to, you know, put on my low-key hoodie and dark colored pants and to go, you know, kind of nondescriptly walk over to, I almost said Radio Shack. That doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, no.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And we're not in the 90s game again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do people go for their surveillance equipment these days?
Fry's? No, Fry's is dead too.
Fry's is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The world is coming slowly to an end.
Oh, no. We'll just make one up.
Just make one up.
Jimmy's
Electronics. We got all you need at Jimmy's Electronics.
Hey, there's Battery Hut.
The Battery Hut.
That's a great name.
Yeah,
there's Battery Hut. Their slogan is for all your battery needs.
That's not a front for the mob at all.
In the Valley, we have all electronics.
Oh, that's a great name.
So you head out to one of those?
One of those.
Okay, so we'll get back to you in a minute. Mars and Desiree, it's daytime and everything seems to have died down completely. Like, there's nobody driving in and out. It looks like an abandoned tire factory. No weirdness at all. How long do you watch it for? Is there anything in particular you'd like to do? All that good stuff. And we can say that you have radios between the two of you that you can communicate with, surveillance type stuff.
Remind me, are we armed? Am I armed? I assume so.
Yeah, you're armed. If you all want a gun, you can definitely have a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they gave me one before.
They gave you one. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing happening here, and there was no way to sort of track the car that came in, right?
Right, no. You know, though, you could, if you wanted to, check out, like, maybe junkyards might be a place where you could talk to somebody, because it was obviously something that they got from somewhere, you know, where it was supposed to be demolished or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the bar does have an eclectic group of people who collect old cars and just pile them places. I'm going to fix this up one day, and they just sit there. So you could use that kind of contact. It doesn't necessarily need to be an official government contact. But that's one option.
I think Desiree has checked out a little bit on what's going on because it's getting boring and has started surfing wedding planning sites. And is very enwrapped in her phone.
Right. I mean, I feel like we don't have a particular mission to, like, stay on this place for now. Like, we may want to check it out later, right?
Basically, you know that these chemicals are coming from here, and there seems to have some connection with the cube, and you all wanted to figure out what was going on. I think that there was maybe some thought about trying to get into there at some point and seeing what the setup was. But beyond that, you can go anywhere you want. You can check out anything you want. And if Desiree wants to go check in with Sonia, she can. If Mars wants to do whatever, or if you all are like, hey, let's figure out how to get into this fucking place and see what's what.
I'm gonna take a look. Is there like a front, sort of obvious front entrance?
There is. It's now, remember, it's surrounded in the city chain link fence of, hey, this place is condemned kind of thing. But yeah, there's an entrance with the where the guy drove through and the whole nine yards.
Right. Yeah. Like there's an entrance to the road that is open enough, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Desiree, I'm going to try the front door. I'm going to try to act like a regular person and see what happens.
Ooh, acting. Okay.
Okay, but before you potentially get shot, what do you think of this arrangement?
Okay.
Like, for flowers.
It's a little busy, I'd say. It's a little much.
Yeah.
I feel like you want something a little simpler, a little more elegant. Classy. You're a classy person.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. All right, let me go take a look. So, yeah, I'm going to, like, scooch back to where, like, the road is and then sort of walk down the road kind of in the middle. You know, it's daytime, daylight. I'm just like a guy in clothes walking in, not even creeping. You know, I have disguise, but this isn't really like a disguise, but it is, I don't know.
Do you have performance or anything like that? Like any acting or psychology or anything that would go towards like, hey, I'm doing a thing.
I mean, disguise is the closest.
Well, why don't we make a disguise roll then?
All right, let me try a disguise roll here.
Basically, you're trying to pass as not a competent Marine dude.
Exactly. Just trying to pass as just a regular guy walking up the place.
Can I assist?
Sure. How do you want to assist?
Well, my disguise skill is very high, so I want to be able to like help like, no. Do this.
Yeah, walk like this.
So I'll give you an advantage on that then.
Excellent. I was going to ask, did we drive here? We drove here, right?
Right. It's not very far from the Motel 6, but you do have a vehicle.
Cool. I want to go grab, on Desiree's advice, I want to go grab a gas can from the car. So I'm walking up with a gas can. All right. That is a 38.
Okay, so with your advantage, you get an extra 10%, so that puts you at a 40, and you make the roll.
Yay!
Yay!
Huzzah!
So, explain exactly, you have narrative control for a moment, what happens?
So yeah, I come walking down the street, sort of in the middle, carrying my gas can, looking sort of confused and maybe a little, maybe with Desiree, smudged a little dirt in my face so it looks like, you know, I was working on my car. And I try to look like I'm looking for the front door.
All right. So you are able to get past the gate relatively easy. And you go up to the front door. You notice that there is a tiny red light that is shining down towards you. It's not actually on you. You realize it's there. It's obviously a scope light. You look at the front and you see that there are several little pod cameras that are tucked up. So if you're looking from the street, you can't see them, but they are recording. And you do the whole thing where you're kind of looking around and
knocking on the door. Hey, help. Anybody in there? I need some help out here.
You notice that the light turns off once you start talking. but you can see the camera kind of move in the bulbs a little bit at tracing where you're at, but there's no response from anyone inside of the tire factory.
I try the door.
The door is locked, and you notice that if you look through the crack, the center crack of the door, there seems to be a secondary metal door. This is a facade door, definitely. And when you try the door, you notice the light goes back on, the red light, and it just kind of tracks over to where you're at. So it obviously doesn't like you messing with the door at all.
And that's okay. I mean, are there windows to look in? I'm just trying to, looking like I'm looking for help. I'm just looking for help. I'm just a regular guy. I didn't see no red dot.
So you go over and you do the whole looking through the window thing. And it looks like a TV set where they've made the windows dirty as opposed to actual years and years. You do see movement inside. It looks like at least two people. You can't really make out much, but they're looking at what you think is probably a computer monitor. They're probably watching through the security cameras right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to bang on the window a little bit. Just be like, hey, is there anyone in there? Hello?
They don't respond, but you can still clearly see them. How long do you stay in the front?
I mean, I'm sort of walking around the building looking for help. So, you know, sort of try the door, look in the windows, see if I can see, is there a back door, you know?
There's a back door and a loading area. And as you go around the whole thing, you notice that, like I said, there's turrets on every side. They're definitely following what you do. Desiree, you notice, as Mars is going around this building, a cop cruiser coming to the front while he's in the back. And it's obvious that they got some kind of disturbance call because they get out of their car and they're checking the front gate. They don't look like they are in the know. Like, they didn't roll up, open the front gate, go in, park, that kind of thing. They're definitely checking things out. And you're watching this from, I imagine, a bit away, so they don't see you at all. But you know that Mars is in the back checking out everything.
Yeah. Huh. I'm torn. Sorry, I'm thinking. Because I want to buy Mars a little bit more time.
Okay.
But I'd also like to not get arrested.
You've done that before, and Sonya doesn't like it.
Yeah. It puts a real hamper on things. I'm going to try and distract this cop, I think.
Okay.
And I think this is going to go very, very poorly for me.
What kind of skill would you like to try to use for this?
Well, I'm still in, like, my Hobo Joe getup.
Okay.
Hobo Joe.
Is there debris around me?
Yes. For story reasons, there's debris around you.
I look for, like, a beer bottle.
Okay.
And... I'm
wow, how big of a distraction are we going for? Okay.
Just enough. I'm not going to, like, slam it against the bar and, like, cut the guy with it or something.
You die today, motherfucker. All right. So, yeah, grab
a... just enough to look like I am extremely not sober.
All right.
And am causing disturbance issues, just kind of like... Lousy cops, why are they coming up in our neighborhood and doing the thing? And this is, I don't understand. And just being, like, really disorderly about it. Not violent or anything, but, like...
Right. Belligerent.
Yeah.
Okay. So, give me a... I guess, do you have a performance role or...
I have persuade?
Yeah, let's do persuade.
All right. I got a 27 underneath my 70.
All right. So you're making this big, loud ruckus. We're going to say that Mars actually hears it. And the cops turn around towards you. Hey, you. Have you seen anybody walking in here?
Just you. What are you doing here? Get out of the neighborhood.
You know, being drunk in public is illegal, right?
Yeah, well, your face should be illegal.
Oh, let's see how that goes. They start walking over towards you, and one of them goes, look, you haven't seen anybody come in and out of here, right?
No, why?
No, we
got just a stupid old tire factory. Trust me, I wish I could get in there. I want to go sleep in there. It looks cozy and safe.
And they look you up and down, and they go, look, stop drinking so much. And then they walk off, and they get in the car. And because you rolled really well, and probably because you're white, they drive away.
True story.
I mean, if we're being realistic.
True story.
True story. I hate to say it, you know, but that's just the way it is. So they drive away. And you hear them, Mars, drive away. And again, everything's really quiet. You're in the back. At this point, you two, Desiree and Mars, should think about what the next steps are now that you kind of have a layout. You note that everything's a facade. They've rebuilt the inside completely. There's people in there. You've checked out at least two people. There's a loading dock in the back for the chemicals and turrets on each side that are the snipers. Let's jump back over to Norman, who is going into, what do we say, Jimmy's Electronics?
Jimmy's.
You're at Jimmy's Electronics. We have all your electronic needs. All right, so it's the only fucking accent I can do. So you go in, and you're picking up all the stuff you think would work really well, and suddenly right next to you is one of your coworkers, and they go, hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing great. You want to just tell me why I keep running into you guys?
Well, there was a blip on your movement, and somebody high up took a look at what was going on. That's what I know, but I also know right now they're in your Motel 6 room, bugging the shit out of it, probably. So I wanted to let you know. They're going to pull you in sooner rather than later, so whatever you're doing, you need to do it fast, because they haven't done anything yet. They're still watching. But I think they're being clumsy on purpose.
Probably a bit of professional courtesy. Probably to bring me in before they have to do any actual work.
Correct. They want you to figure out what's going on for yourself and, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyway, you need to wrap it up or move locations or maybe not go back to that location. I don't know. It's up to you. But they're, like I said, they're bugging it right now. So anyway, I got to go.
Well, I appreciate the heads up. Maybe I'll see you in the office sometime.
Hopefully. Don't get disappeared. He walks off.
Okay. It's one of those things where I'm like, I kind of thought I had a little more time. But I
no,
guess...
No, the second you were gone, they're like... Woo. Norman's out, he's gone, so fuck it, let's go.
Oh, gosh. Fools. Well, I guess that's what I get for going by the playbook. Now I'm thinking, though, why not leave some of the bugs that they plant in there and perhaps give a little bit of a red herring trail, or is that a phrase? Yeah, I might, I'm not super uncomfortable with this, but it is annoying. I'm gonna still buy what I need to buy, and I've probably need a new laptop, so I'm gonna get one of those. Now that I'm here. I'm gonna get a burner phone as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They have the new HBO back the wire phone.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Hey, who says branding's all bad?
Get your wire branded HBO phone.
All right, cool. And, you know, okay, if they're really going in there and, you know, just contaminating everything, let me also get the components needed for, get a new modem, so I can do my own Wi-Fi. But is that a little tedious to talk about with the...
Well, no, you can. We can just say you get all the stuff
got
that
all
you
the
need.
Stuff. Yes.
And then when you make rolls, I'm not going to be like, well, was that on your shopping list? Can I see the receipt?
Did you buy the right wiring?
Yeah. No. You get all the stuff that you need and you feel that would be helpful. And then head back.
Right. And I guess I brought a backpack with me so I could carry all the stuff because I walked here. So I still want to craft my own little bug.
So why don't we make that roll then?
Yes. Okay.
And we'll do the 10% advantage because you have all the right equipment now.
Perfect. All right. Here we go. So I'm going to do, I'll do, because I realize I have electrician as well, but probably microelectronics is better and it's higher. So I'll
stick
that's
fine.
That.
Either one, whichever one you like.
All right. All righty. Ah, yes, I made it. It's 12 under my 40.
So you now have a working bug that's hooked up to your brand new safe laptop that you just got.
All right. And if I'm back in the hotel room, let me do just a sweep of, see if I can tell.
How many bugs?
Yeah, I can probably tell them.
There's your typical bug in the lampshade and, you know, all that. They've got four bugs all together, and then they tap the computer that you have hooked up. So they're
nice. I'm assuming the phone. Are there usually phones in Motel 6s?
Yeah. Now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that's
oh, yeah.
too.
But who the fuck uses it? Like,
right. It's like they want to know my wake up
call. Desk.
Yeah.
That's a Hail Mary. Like, you know, maybe somebody will use it. So you have all that information. We will get back to you in a little bit, unless you have something specific you wanted to do.
I'm just like roll happy right now. I'll save it because I want to talk to my bros before I make the next decision. Yeah. So yes, I'm cool for now.
All right. So cool. Let's jump back over to the dig site. Everybody is now in contamination gear, hazmat suits, that kind of thing. They had a large tent system set up so that no one could see the cube from outside, but they put out a secondary further back barrier to keep people from coming any closer. You're all standing there, you all meaning Robin, Perla, Agent Roos, and a few other of the bomb squad are within the first, like half a football field kind of thing. You're within the first level of clearance. There is no radiation, but they're worried about the electricity or whatever that power source is coming off the cube. And they send the robot forward and they start to take a little part of it. And the cube starts to ramp up again. And it makes this horrible kind of shaking sound. And an arc of energy comes from the cube, hits the robot, and it arcs from the robot and hits a guy in a hazmat suit as if it was purposely figuring out where the waves from the controller were coming from. And it hits the guy for just a brief second, fries out the robot, and the guy falls on the ground and isn't moving.
Was his hazmat suit red?
No.
I am going to run over and attempt to perform first aid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emergency medicine business on our electrocuted man.
Okay. So you run over and the first thing you notice is something's really wrong, like with physiology. When you grab onto him to check his vitals and everything else, it is almost like he is a huge balloon of water.
No. What?
He's not breathing. You check for breath. Do you take off the hazmat suit? I mean, I think you'd have to.
Yeah, I have to, because otherwise you can't get to him.
Right. Make a medical roll for me. Let's see, is that right?
Yeah, I have medicine.
Yeah, let's do medicine.
And that's a 6 under my 60.
Okay. So you turn him over and he weighs a lot. Like suddenly you just feel like it's like extra weight. He's not breathing. Do you do a chest compression or do you listen for a heartbeat? You're not hearing any heart. And when you touch him, It's like touching the side of a water balloon. It's just a door, you know, like a waterbed mattress almost.
Yeesh.
Human go-gurt.
If he's not breathing and I don't hear a heartbeat, then yeah, I would start rescue.
Oh.
I will say rescue breathing because I'm not going to, because the potential for contamination is still there. Like, I'm still in my hazmat suit, and I'm going to do chest compressions to see if I can get at least his heart started again.
So you press down on him and it pops and all of this liquid comes spraying up, and he just, like, all of his muscles and the tendons and his lungs and everything else have liquefied.
Oh.
And you push down and you go straight to the ground, and all of this, like, water just covers you. I need a resolve check for you and Perla.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I've never regretted, like, trying to help someone so much before in my life. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. It's like squeezing the middle of the toothpaste.
I didn't make it.
I didn't make it either. Like, this
is so funny.
Oh, you both missed it?
Well, I feel like this is completely, like, within bounds of me just being like, nope, nope, nobody know.
I would agree.
If I had made it, I think I couldn't do it.
It would bother you even more? Like, yes. why am I okay with this? All right, let me see here.
Instead of a resolve check, we should make a con check.
This is what the hazmat suits are for.
Yeah, you're definitely going to fail that con check. There's no... the bar on that is real high, so...
God. Throwing up in a hazmat suit is not probably a fun thing to do.
Nope. Nope.
Oh, Nelly, no, that would...
So this is a pretty big deal. I'm rolling a 12-sider, just so you know. I'm going to do it individually. So for Perla... Oh, shit. Perla, you take 12 points.
Ouch.
Yeah. With that kind of situation, the 10 to 24 points lost, I take over the scene and tell you what happens. So you don't need to, you don't need to roll anything. I got you covered. Robin, 9. Yeah. So you both take a huge hit. Ooh. Perla, you scramble back a few feet. You throw up in your hazmat suit and just run as fast as you can away from the situation, trying to get your hood off and get free so you can run faster. We will get back to what happens with that later.
Yeah, I think that sounds appropriate.
Yeah.
No, you're running in your puke. I don't know why. All I can think of is the scene in Stand By Me where they're having the pie-eating contest.
Yep.
And, like, one person throws up and then, like, everybody starts throwing up.
Robin, you get to roll a 50-50 luck check to see whether or not you can handle this or if you have to roll on the reaction table.
63.
So reaction table it is.
No part of this is going my way. This is what I get for trying to help people.
Why don't you roll me a D6, please?
I have one of those right here. 3.
Okay, you freeze, and you are just kind of stuck there looking at this goo that's all over you, this water that's dripping off your thing and everything else. You can't move. You're just floored that this has happened. And that's where we're going to wrap this episode up. Thank you all so much.
All I kept picturing when she was going in to do the chest compressions was that scene from The Thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. Pretty close.
I was really going with RoboCop when the guy falls into the toxic goo.
Oh, yeah. God,
yep, that too.
It's pretty bad. So thank you all so much for being Patreon backers. We really appreciate it. You know where the show is. Let's find out where all these wonderful people are. Let's start with Pooja.
Hello, I am Pooja, and I am horrified. But you can find me on Twitter at LADESIGirl. That's LADESI girl. And pretty much everywhere else is Forgotten Saves. I'm also doing RPGs on It's Probably Okay's Twitch channel and Happy Jack's RPG.
Hi, y'all. You can find me on the socials at Jay Holtham and all these usual social places. And you can also find me playing games, often with Pooja, at Happy Jack's and at It's Probably Okay's Twitch channel.
Hey guys, I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais, and I am not a human water weenie. Thank God. You can find me online as at Strange Like That, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebooks, and my website.
Hi, I'm Saint, and you can find me on Twitter at Saint Spider TV. That's all spelled out as one word. And occasionally I'm on Twitch at Saint Spider, all together spelled out at twitch.tv.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on Twitter at Michulhu, that's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U, and you can find my music and Wes's wonderful sound effects on Plate Mail Games through DriveThruRPG or BattleBards.
And I'm Wes Otis, and you can find me at Plate Mail Games on Twitter. And thank you all so much, like I said, for being supporters. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time for Delta Green. Bye.